Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Texas Electricity Ratings. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Obviously, get those questions in. We'll get to all those here in just a little bit. But first, guys, let's talk about the portal. Obviously, a lot going on. Seems like every hour something is changing, not just for Texas, but schools across the country. But what's the latest when it comes to the Longhorns?
Well, I mean, Dominic Williams, the TCU transfer, will be on campus. He should get to campus Tuesday evening. I think he has some classes today. Should get to campus Tuesday evening, probably have a dinner with members of the Texas staff, and then has all day Wednesday on campus in Austin. That's the schedule. So that's the schedule, is to get in Tuesday evening, have some dinner, spend all day Wednesday with the Texas staff around the UT program. Jay Toya elected to stay at UCLA. That was a big surprise. The NIL day and age in the portal, right, guys? That was a big surprise. I had it about 80% inside the building. I think they had it about 90. So that's some of the things that come with recruiting. You take your swings, and you know sometimes you'll miss, but you just got to keep fighting the good fight. Texas will continue to look. They're going after Dominic Williams, and if anybody else pops up, we're not ruling it out. So we'll see what happens there. Bobby, there's going to be some guys going from Texas into the portal, we think.
So I'll
other guys coming into Texas from the portal. Portal closes 11:59 on April 30th. That doesn't mean you have to have a decision, but that means you have to have all your paperwork in the portal.
Yeah, yesterday Bill Norton committed to Texas, the defensive lineman out of Arizona. big pickup there for the Longhorns from a depth perspective. 300-plus snaps a year ago for a pretty good Arizona defense. Again, Texas needs guys up front, we think, because of the entry into the SEC, as well as losing guys that we're going to talk about in a minute here. Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat. Blake, you're going to talk about the NFL draft because ESPN came out with its final mock draft of the season, had some interesting notes there on the Longhorns. But besides Bill Norton, the other news that I do know right now, as of right now, it sounds like a Longhorn defensive starter, and I'm not giving hints or anything to that point. Sounds like he might be entering the portal. There were exit interviews yesterday with Longhorn coach Steve Sarkisian. And sometimes things happen. I don't know the extent of it. I don't know if it's final yet, but things do happen. And right now, that's where something is headed. I shouldn't say right now. As of yesterday evening when I reported that, that's where things were headed. I haven't gotten an update since then. I am not, and I will not give a hint or mention a name. I didn't do the same with Xavier Worthy 2 years ago when he was having the same sort of debate amongst himself. So anyways, long story short, that is what's going on right now in the portal. Jerry mentioned Dominic Williams, the big defensive tackle out of TCU being the next piece of it. And as Jerry also mentioned previously, Texas will be going big game hunting if available. If there is a big game piece available at other positions, particularly on defense, because Longhorns are looking up looking to shore up the defense as much as possible. And maybe we saw why on Saturday, guys. What, 70-plus points scored, or right at 70 points scored in the orange-white game. The Texas offense, both the first and second team units, lighting up their opponents for, you know, move the ball down the field with regularity. I don't know how many punts there were, maybe three or four all day long. So that tells you a little bit about what may need to be the focus of the offseason for the Longhorns.
Yeah, so there's been a couple of notes. Texas wasn't getting 3D linemen out of the portal. Somebody mentioned that. Well, that doesn't mean Texas doesn't want that. Well, let's see what happens. I mean, it's not out of the question, but we'll see.
Well, hey, before we move on and talk a little high school recruiting, Bobby, first, can you tell folks out there about Texas Electricity Ratings?
Yeah, absolutely. Texas Electricity Ratings sponsors each and every Tuesday morning coffee and football. For those of y'all still living in Texas and in the major cities with deregulated electricity like Dallas and Houston, you understand that the deregulated electricity market can be confusing. Texas Electricity Ratings is a website that lets you compare prices, read customer reviews, and find a good electricity plan that fits your needs. It also filters out a lot of the gimmicky plans on websites like Power to Choose that trick customers into expensive bills. So if you're in the market for a new electricity plan, shop TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for all your electricity needs. That's TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF.
Burn Orange Horn, bring that up, that 817 real quick, because this is important to talk about with this. Blow you all upset. Dominic left Norman unsigned at 817. So this is what's important about this is once you sign your aid papers with an SEC school, you can't go visit another SEC school. It's over. So, yeah, Oklahoma did try to get that done this weekend. And they did not. And now LSU will try to keep Texas from getting that done Tuesday, Wednesday, because LSU scheduled to get a visit. Because the second you sign those aid papers, SEC schools are done with that prospect, whoever he signs with. So something to note there, very important. You know, Ski Break said we already have 2 DL out of portal. Correct. I guess Texas would take 3 late, to your point.
Yep. And Tia Savea looked like a good player.
Yeah.
Looked like a guy that can have a chance, in my opinion, to really help the Longhorns. So, look, that's what it's all about right now. Texas needs guys that can make plays. This is going to be a big year for the Longhorns, given what we saw from the offense. Yes, it was Arch Manning and Trey Owens at the quarterback, but Quinn Ewers is the starter for a reason, and he's going to have a lot of tools to work with this year. And so the defense, I think, is what Steve Sarkisian is probably going to focus on mentally over the next, 15 days as the portal opens and closes in that time frame.
Hi, guys. Well, we've talked about portal recruiting. Let's talk a little bit about high school recruiting. Jerry, what you got there?
Yeah, so I thought what we'd do today is look. I one thing is we talked yesterday about Myron Charles. He has his official visit set up now May 31st through June 2nd. 4-star defensive lineman out of Port Charlotte. Since quarterback is such a big topic, I thought let's talk about KJ Lacy a little bit. He was on campus last weekend with his parents. It had been a while since his parents had been on campus, both parents. It normally has just been KJ Lacy. Here are his junior highlights, I believe that is. But I think it's a good time to remind everybody that, look, KJ Lacy was handpicked by Steve Sarkisian early on in the 2025 class. He committed on June 3rd, at the Texas Elite Camp last summer of 2023. So that's good. That's a good sign that KJ Lacy's been on campus multiple times, has the June 21st through 23rd official visit set up. Obviously, we want to talk about KJ Lacy here, about the quarterback evaluation, Bobby, and that recruiting process of Steve Sarkisian coming off of the way Trey Owens looks Saturday in the spring game. I mean, we don't really talk about Arch Manning. The way Trey Owens looked in the spring game Saturday, You know, and KJ Lacy, really talented player. I think one of the things that happens in recruiting is the earlier you commit, the earlier you get forgotten about. And I think some people underestimate how good a player and prospect KJ Lacy is at the quarterback position. He is. I've seen him three times in person. He has got some real gamesmanship about him. Steve Sarkisian won't offer you unless you can make all the throws. You can see clearly on this video, he can make all the throws. He can make a lot of those throws off platform. His feet don't have to be set. He's got point guard feet, point guard vision. He was a point guard and quarterback as a young kid. I just wanted to give everybody a second look at KJ Lacy on that junior tape, Bobby. That release is really good. Keelan Russell visited Saturday at night and Sunday. Texas did not offer Keelan. They didn't rule out offering Keelan. I don't think it'll be a two-quarterback class at Texas. I think Texas will sign one quarterback. But I just wanted to give everybody another look at KJ Lacy coming off the spring game and the performance of Trey Owens and Arch Manning.
I love his release. I mean, yeah. It is compact and quick, as good as you're going to find. That's the reality. Is he the tallest guy? No. He's fairly athletic, though. I think what surprises me, I think he should get more comparison to Bryce Young.
100%.
You know, that's kind of what that looks like. And, you know, Bryce Young's as good a college quarterback as you're probably going to get. I'm a big fan of KJ Lacy and have been from the outset.
Yeah, and so we'll see where Texas what happens. I wanted to give everybody a look with KJ Lacy. I'll say this: I think there's some guys that Texas feels really good about in recruiting. The plan for the Texas staff is they're going to be in house in Austin this week. Obviously, they have official visitor in Dominic Williams starting this evening, but the staff will be in house this week doing a lot of recruiting calls. Obviously, making more tape evaluations on some kids, some younger kids, before they go hit the road. Texas begins hitting the road next week. The spring evaluation period began April 15th, runs through the end of May, but that doesn't mean you have all those days. You have so many days, and you can only see prospects once here in the spring. So Texas has to lay out those plans, make sure they have all their travel set, all the places they want to go. I think you're going to see this Texas staff scattered in California, Arizona, Texas, all the way to Florida. I think you'll see Kyle Flood go through Cedar Rapids since Nick Brooks is going to visit in mid-June and maybe a few other places for this Texas staff. But you're going to see a lot of time that when they pop up through social media, high schools, head coaches posting that Texas coaches visited. I think you're going to see a lot of time spent from along I-10 from California all the way to Florida. I think that's where you're going to see the majority of the Texas staff.
Hey, Jerry, I know that football recruiting takes precedent here, as well as it should in many situations. But Vic Schaefer, who we had on the show last week, you and I were out near DKR and at Moncrief Newhouse last week as Bill Norton and Jay Toya and those guys came in. Some of the high school guys were coming in early for the visits. And we saw Vic Schaefer on a golf cart, taking around some recruits, et cetera. Sounds like he got a pretty big one yesterday. Give people a little insight on that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best players in the Big Ten now. This is Layla Filia, 6-foot guard. She's originally from, I think, the Cincinnati area or somewhere in Ohio. She committed to Texas yesterday. CJ Vogel had a photo, and he sent it between me and him. He was like, that big visitor on campus. We couldn't pin from the photo who it was, but now we know who that was. She is one of the best guards. She's a bucket. She can score the basketball on all three levels. I think this is a huge, huge piece for Vic Schaefer now, guys. His backcourt is salty now. I mean, you put Filia here with Rory Harmon, Madison Booker, Shea Holly. I mean, Texas up. Shea Gonzalez, she had a good career at Texas. They just upgraded. This is one of the best players in the Big Ten. She's a future WNBA draft pick, more than likely. So they just got a tremendous basketball player. And I know if Coach Schaefer was on here, we've had him on, he'd be talking about her defense, defense, defense. And she can guard the ball, but she can really score the basketball. Very welcome edition. There you see her first team All Big Ten honors. I mean, Texas got a future WNBA draft pick here, averaged about 17 points, 3.5 rebounds. There you see 130 point game, 12 20 point game. She played well in the big games. Iowa, she had one off game, but Iowa, Ohio State, ranked teams, she played up to the competition. She had her best games when it mattered on an NCAA tournament team. Huge pickup for Vic Schaefer. We'll get Uncle Vic on the show again, but he'll want to talk some fishing this time for all you guys. That's a big pickup for the Texas women's team. I mean, I think they're going to be ranked top three preseason next year. UConn will probably be the favorite. It wouldn't shock me if Texas wasn't two or three next year, maybe three. You got to give South Carolina the benefit of the doubt and see what old Mulkey does over in Baton Rouge. But Vic's going to have the best team he's had next year, guys.
Yeah, good stuff there for sure. Well, speaking of good stuff, guys, the NFL draft here in just a couple of days. As Bobby said earlier, ESPN put out a final mock draft, this time 7 rounds. And, guys, they had 8 Longhorns to be taken total, 3 of those going in the first round. I tweeted it out this morning. The Bengals going with Byron Murphy.
Yep.
The Chiefs via trade with Dallas. They project the Chiefs to trade up to get Xavier Worthy early at number 24. The Bills taking Mitchell. That would be your 3 in the first round. In the second round, they have running back Jonathan Brooks going to the Cowboys. And then in the third round, in the second round, the Seahawks with Jatavion Sanders. And then the third round, they have the Bengals taking Christian Jones and Tavondre Sweat. And then in the 6th round, Jalen Ford going to the Texans.
Look, Byron Murphy slides a little bit with each draft, but staying in the top 20, which each mock draft. The Bills seem to really be locked in on A.D. Mitchell, Bobby. Every mock draft about has him to the Bills. So all those guys are hearing something right now. And look, that's 8 guys potentially drafted, maybe a 9th slips in there, possibly a 10th. But it looks more and more like Texas will probably have 9 guys drafted and 12 guys in training camp. That's a heck of a draft. That right there would be the most draft picks for Texas in a 7-round draft.
It's good stuff. Tavondre Sweat staying in that list is good news for him. I mean, he had a situation where that could have been all for naught, right, Jerry? I mean, yeah. So that's good. I have seen so many mocks that have Jonathan Brooks going to the Cowboys in the 2nd.
Yeah.
It's going to like be an upset.
Yes. If he is
selected by the Cowboys in the 2nd. I mean, every single person I've talked to, it looks like they project Jonathan Brooks to go in the 2nd to the Cowboys. We shall see, I guess, is the best way to put on that. But Jonathan Brooks would be, I think, the first running back off the board for the 2nd straight year for the Longhorns. Getting a trade there for Xavier Worthy with Patrick Mahomes. They're still trying to replace Tyreek Hill. Even though they won a world championship last year, Jerry, they still Andy Reid still loves him that speed. So that makes a lot of sense, in my opinion, as well. Byron Murphy, wherever he goes, is going to get a player. I was listening to a mock draft on, I think it was the Athletics podcast or something like that, on my way back to Nashville Sunday. I felt like they were trying to get him into the first 20, but didn't really know where he fit.
Yeah,
and that's indicative of all these variations on the mock draft. Where does Byron Murphy really fit? It's not whether or not he's a good enough player to go in that category. I get it. I mean, fit is a big thing. Apparently, it's a very heavy receiver / offensive tackle draft, by the way. And so we may see as many as 4 or 5 offensive tackles go in the first round, allegedly.
Okay. Hey, by the way, I need to mention, I mentioned women's basketball. Men's basketball, 3 potentially big decisions in the portal this week for Rodney Terry, Frank Haith, and staff. I think Frank Haith is doing a great job identifying players and helping build out a roster here. Jordan Pope, my favorite guy in the portal that Texas is in on the point guard combo guard out of Oregon State, he's set to announce his decision tomorrow. some confidence in Austin. We'll see what happens. Brandon Garrison, the big man out of a transfer from Oklahoma State. Texas was in his top three coming out of high school. They're right there again. Could he return to Oklahoma State? Oklahoma State's trying. Oklahoma, he visited. Texas, he visited. John Calipari in Arkansas trying to make a run here. He didn't get on campus Sunday because of weather, but Arkansas is trying to get him on campus. I haven't heard if he's up there or not. But if he doesn't go on that visit, obviously that'd be better for Texas and Oklahoma. But if he stays close to home, I think it's something within the family that he needs to stay close to home, meaning an Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. So we'll see what happens there. And then Rytus Petraeus, the forward out of Arlington Oak Ridge High School, has been at Air Force, had a really good couple of years at Air Force. Texas and Cal are the top two there. So those are three guys out of the portal. If Texas happened to hit on all three, which is hard to do, if they hit on all three, they're done, guys. So we'll see what happens this week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, guys, before we move on, I need to tell folks out there about Gooder. And I got to say, I put my money where my mouth is yesterday, fellas, and even ordered my kid a pair, the Scream If You Hate Gravity one. So there you go. And here's the thing. Ordered them late last night at 10 o'clock, right before we got on the show. They shipped them out. I mean, that's how quick that turnaround time is there. So you can't autograph, or you can't argue with that, excuse me. But guys, I told you yesterday, I'm a sunglasses snob. There's no other way to put it. So for me to recommend Gooder, I promise you, it's a quality product. You're going to like it. For $25 a pair, you can't beat it. They're 100% polarized. They don't slip. They don't bounce. They're always releasing new styles. And they even got Longhorn fans hooked up. They have a Longhorn pair. It's Gooder, and it's good for you. You've heard Jerry rave about them. You've listened to Bobby tell you how good they are. If you don't believe us, go online, take a look at their more than 50,000 five-star reviews. They stand behind their product with a 30-day free return and a one-year warranty. So you can't beat that. They're going to have you looking stylish. It's easy on the wallet. They're affordable, so you don't have to worry about losing them, breaking them, whatever it is that you may do. So if you want to support the show and try a pair, Gooder is giving On Texas Football listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/ontexas. Use promo code On Texas, and like I said, they're going to give you free shipping. They offer a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's gooder.com/ontexas. Use promo code On Texas and take advantage of that free shipping offer.
No doubt. Gooder and duck camp, like coffee and donuts, baby.
Or coffee and football.
Or coffee and football.
Okay, guys. We have some super chats here that we need to take care of. So we're going to jump over to those. This first one from Slick Rick. Thank you, Slick. Any update on DeCorian Moore after that spring game? I'm sure he'd love to be a part of the offense. Do you think he will flip soon?
I think his recruitment will come to a conclusion before his senior season. I'm still looking at late June, July, before his senior season. I think it'll play out. I think he'll go see Ohio State. I think he'll go see Oregon. And I think he'll make official visits to all those places. I don't believe he's released his official visit dates. I'll be surprised if Texas doesn't get a June 21st through 23rd visit. But we'll see what that weekend is. I think Texas is very attractive to DeCorian Moore. Obviously families from Austin, mom went to high school at Lanier High School, which is now has a different name, obviously, but a lot of family in Austin. So we'll see what happens. I think there's some confidence in Austin, but I think it'll take a while to play out, guys. He'll be back in town next weekend, not this weekend, the following weekend for the state track meet, running on a couple of relays, qualified in the long jump with a jump over 24 feet. So he'll be back in Austin again. What does that mean? And as far as the recruitment, I don't think it means anything. I think the visits coming up the month of June is going to be really big there. But I'm still, as of today on April 23rd, Could that change a week from now? Obviously, it's recruiting. Right now, I'm still thinking before his senior season. And one of the reasons I'm thinking before his senior season is Reggie Samples, Coach Samples, doesn't let guys take visits during the season, which you can't. When you have 30, 35 Division I prospects, they'd be kids would be out everywhere in America every weekend. Modern Day does the same thing. Kids take visits on their on the off week. These schools with all these D1 prospects, they have to keep the kids in the area. Else, there's so many highly recruited players, they go everywhere. So I think that's one of the reasons you'll see, similar to Colin Simmons, DeCorian Moore wrap up his recruiting process officially before the start of his senior season.
And we have another super chat, guys. This one from Jay Lee. Thank you, Jay, as always. He says, is there what happened to the defensive backs on Saturday, the result of having so many talented wide receivers on the field? Under Riley at OU, they were stacked too, and those wide receivers were running open like that no matter who they played.
I don't know that that's the case. So I want to say this and try to be blunt. I mean, if you're comparing yourself to the best teams at OU under Riley, you're still comparing yourself to defenses that were leaked like a sieve. And so that's not the comparison you want to make. And also Texas runs a different style of offense than Lincoln Riley. It's just different. It's more pro style, more use of the tight end, more two personnel or two running back personnel, more two tight end personnel. It's just different. And so my take on that is OU is not the one you want to emulate at all. It is true that they ran roughshod, but look, it's not about the receivers. I mean, some guys blew coverages on Saturday, period. I mean, you don't get 15 yards behind a guy. You don't get 5 yards behind a guy. You just don't do that. You don't have a safety come up late. That's just not good defense. Now, does that mean that Texas isn't going to make some other teams look bad at times? Yeah, they are. But that's what having good players is. Texas needs to be more competitive on defense. They were not on Saturday, in my opinion. Now, why is that? I mean, we could sit here and talk about it all day. I don't know all the answers. I know that they didn't even have to run the ball to score as many points as they did. I mean, Texas did not even try to run the ball effectively. So they just tossed it around the yard. That is not good. I'll just put it that way. If you can't force a team to be one-dimensional as a defense, then you may not have a championship-level defense at this point. And that's my concern right now.
And then one other super chat, guys. This one from Jason. And, Bobby, I know you touched on this just a little bit ago, but Jason came in right after that to ask this. Rumors of a defensive back starter that's going to leave, any information? I know you talked about a defender, somebody on the defense, but can you
give it one more time? Just to reiterate what I've said is I heard yesterday from a very reputable person that there is a returning defensive starter that is contemplating entering their name into the portal from the Longhorns to go elsewhere. So I'm not confirming it's a defensive back, whatever. I'm not going to play that game. And the reason why is because it is not final. It's not, I mean, so guys, there is a lot of internal messaging and talking amongst players, amongst the staff and the players. All different types of people nowadays are getting involved in this situation. And so, 2 years ago, Xavier Worthy had a situation where the Longhorns, he was going to enter the portal. So was Jade Barron, for that matter, 2 years ago, but opted instead to stay. And my take on it, I didn't mention their names back then. So after they made a decision, I said who it was. And it was since confirmed by those guys. So I'm not going to sit here and try to put this guy on blast or anybody on blast until it comes to fruition. And you don't know which way it's going to go. To say it's already done, I don't think is accurate as of yesterday afternoon.
And Jay Lee wanted to clarify real quick on his super chat. He said, I wasn't talking about OU's defense specifically, making the point that they had receivers running open against every team they played.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think I understood what he was saying. The problem I have is they were too open. Right? I mean, Jerry, did you think they were too open in the spring game? I mean,
I thought on the two busts, yeah. But those OU teams also made the playoff, by the way. You know, look, I think this, I think it's never as good. It's never as bad. Right. The edge guys hold up. If they could have got home, they hold up in that game. How does that affect quarterback timing? I mean, so there's some things I think that play into a real game versus a spring game. And that's not your best 11 on defense versus the best 11 on offense. That's a mix and match of teams. So what does your best 11 look like, or what does your best 18 look like? That could be a different look. I think the blown coverages were the concern. If somebody gives up a big touchdown and they have a blown coverage, they're going to take a lot of heat. There's other times where a couple of those players had really good coverage. It seems that Rod talked about the switch release, right? Those seem to be maybe the issues. I don't think it's ever as good or ever as bad. I think Arch Manning made some throws in that game too now. That's kind of where I would say it was. I remain the same on the safety play. I think it's going to be improved, over last year. I think Makuba's a really good player. I think Derek Williams going into year two. I think they just got to keep shoring up that corner.
Our next question, fellas, comes from Kelly, and he says, what options does Sark have to get the secondary up to a level by fall where we can win a championship? Or would you say championship-level defense, secondary?
Well, I mean, first of all, adding Jahdae Barron back clearly might help, right? I mean, he was out for the spring game. More Andrew Makuba. Think of all of the safeties that played on Saturday. I thought Makuba may have graded out the best. He was active in pass defense, filled against the run. I mean, he's the one that stopped Cedric Baxter short of the goal line, Jerry, one-on-one.
Yeah.
That was a good sign. Look, the corners other than Manny Muhammad did not play well, in my opinion, whether that was – even though Kobe Black ended up with an interception, he's also the one that got ran by with Ryan Wingo. Terrence Brooks made a gaffe that led to the long touchdown pass from Arch Manning. Gavin Holmes got stacked and beat by Isaiah Bond. Even Warren Roberson, I think, got beat by Thatcher Milton. So there are some issues at corner that may need to be addressed in the transfer portal. I do not know at this time if Texas is going to, you know, we're trying to figure out who they're going on. Jerry mentioned that Texas would be going big game hunting. We don't have definitive notice yet of who they're going big game hunting on, except at defensive tackle. So I don't want to sit there and put out a name and then just be tossing names out there for no reason. So we'll see what they do. But that would look like to me a possibility to improve your secondary. Jalen Gilbo, I thought, looked good as well. So we'll see how it goes.
Talked about the defense being a championship level, but let's talk about the offense now. As Vivek B says, the Texans have a championship level offense. He said the first team looks a little discombobulated and limited snaps with Quinn Ewers. But what about the offense as a whole?
I think they do. I mean, I will say this. I mean, Quinn's proved that he can play at the highest level. Just led the team to a national championship semifinal. Jake Majors was in and out. I have no problem saying the offense is going to be a championship level. I also think this, the receivers with Quinn early were kind of, they looked hesitant, didn't make some grabs that they could have made probably that would have kept drives going. Whereas as they got into the game and the receivers got the feel of the game, of all the positions, I thought that was the one where they started getting better as the game wore on. Is that, Jerry, did you get that feel too? Like at the start, they were like, oh, I almost missed that one. All right. I almost dropped that one. Other than Jonte Cook, Isaiah Bond didn't have a good first half. It felt like they were a little off the start. but then got their rhythm later.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, here's the thing about the spring is there's a lot of new faces. That I was excited to see all the new faces. It's not supposed to look like a well-oiled machine, not in the spring. The staff's going to get out of the spring what they want to get out of the spring. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's Isaiah Bond. Those guys are playing in a new system, a more complicated system. Nothing against Tommy Rees, but it's a more complex system for a wide receiver under Steve Sarkisian. So I think even the experienced guys, there's a little thinking that goes on from time to time instead of just reacting and playing. And there's times where guys might not look as comfortable. But, yeah, I just thought, you know, just a little bit of a slow start there. I don't think it had anything to do with who was playing a quarterback position. I mean, sometimes guys are going to make plays too. Ethan Burke has an 84-inch wingspan. Play. I mean, he gets his hands on footballs. I think, look, when the way I look at the spring game is I looked at it this way. I remain the same. I think Texas is going to be a better team this year than they were last year. Does that mean they're going to go 11-1 in the regular season? It doesn't, because the schedule's tougher. I think they're going to be a better team. I think one of the reasons they're going to be a better team is because they're faster. The 1 through 85, they continue to get faster. And I'm not talking about Xavier Worthy's record in the combine, his record run, and A.D. Mitchell's run. I'm talking about 1 through 85. This is a third straight top five class. This is a team that has a lot of speed at a lot of positions. And I think that, you know, the job of the coaching staff is maximize these guys. And the maximization of these guys isn't on April 20th. The maximization of these guys actually needs to start trending on September 7th in Ann Arbor.
Okay, Jerry Hamilton, do you hear that noise? You know what?
All I got to say, guys, it's very simple. I have the 5.0 in my hand, and I have the 4.0 in my hand. The only reason I don't have the 3.0, the 1.0, the 9.0, and the 80.0 is because I only have two hands. All right? Call what you want. Knee knockers, golden nuggets, and those good old thigh slappers. But our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men plus worldwide who've trusted Manscaped by going to manscaped.com. And use code ONTEXAS, all caps, for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town. No better way to go into the SEC than with the 4.0 in your hand, man. Let's do it. Every man knows how scary it can get when going for that close shave below the waist. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. And on Texas football community and club, you guys should too.
Oh, good stuff as always. Well, we've had a lot of people join since we first started the show, guys. So let's go back and talk about what we opened the show with. The portal, obviously, we need to reset and talk about it for a minute, and then we'll get back to some questions. But what's the latest there in summary?
Yeah, Dominic Williams, TCU transfer defensive lineman, scheduled to be on campus this evening. I think he has some classes this morning, early afternoon, at TCU up in Fort Worth. So he'll make his way down to Austin, probably have dinner with members of the Texas staff, then have a full day of University of Texas football and academics in the university on Wednesday. Huge recruitment for Texas. He's a big-time guy. I think a guy that has a 10-year NFL potential career in front of him. Out of that Southern California area, camped at Texas out of high school. But the Blue Bloods pass coming out of high school was it was too short in their eyes. It wasn't carrying enough weight at the time. Well, he's now 6'1 and a half, about 325, and he's all man. So now the Blue Bloods want him. Oklahoma had their shot this weekend. They did not get him to sign those financial aid agreements, which would have ended the recruitment for any other SEC school. Now he'll be on campus. He's scheduled to be on campus at Texas this evening and tomorrow. We'll see what happens there for the Longhorns. He's also got visits scheduled to Colorado, LSU, and I think potentially Oregon. So we'll see what happens there. I don't know if Oklahoma has as much confidence now as they did going into the visit. I'll say that. So we'll see what happens. It's an NIL day and age. I do think Texas will look in the portal, potentially punter, defensive back. I don't think Texas is done in the portal at just defensive tackle. Now, again, we've said this before. It's got to be the right culture fit. Texas isn't just going to reach. It's got to be the right culture fit and the talent above the line. But the one thing when you move from the Big 12 to the SEC as far as cornerback recruiting is the X receivers, your outside receivers in the SEC, are higher-end athletes on the whole versus the Big 12. That means there's not good coaches, good players in the Big 12. There are very good coaches offensively. It's just a higher level, different caliber athlete. So Texas may look to address that.
I got to mention Jay Toya, defensive tackle out of UCLA, has decided and announced late last night that he was going to stay with UCLA rather than transfer to Texas. He visited the Longhorns over the weekend. That was a little bit of a surprise to some folks on campus at Texas. So we'll be monitoring that. Texas still going, as Jerry mentioned, after Dominic Williams, the defensive tackle out of TCU, to pair with Bill Norton, the defensive tackle out of Arizona that committed to Texas yesterday. Norton with more than 300 snaps last year playing for the Wildcats. Also, we need to mention in the portal, Savion Redd announcing his decision to enter the portal yesterday. I believe that brings the number to 6 total Longhorns at this point. 7 if you count running back walk-on Kai Woods. I've heard from some people that Kai Woods might actually be looking at Rice at this point. So he could go from a non-scholarship guy to a scholarship guy elsewhere. Hope that works out for him. He was clearly not going to get much time at Texas. And it looked like probably the same situation for Savion Redd. He wasn't going to be a real major part of the offense in 2024. All right, Jerry, other things that we need to talk about. You started us off and mentioned this with the Uncle Vic, the basketball recruit, young lady that I think she was at Michigan last year. Yeah. And was all Big Ten, has now committed to Texas as well. Go for that. And then we'll talk a little bit more football recruiting and basketball recruiting as well.
Yeah, yeah. Layla Filia out of Michigan, all Big Ten, first team selection, average about 17 a game. She's a bucket. I mean, look, Shea Gonzalez did very good things at Texas for the Longhorns. Texas just upgraded that position. This is a future WNBA player. That Big Ten's a tough conference, was a tough conference last year. She performed really well. She performed against the best competition, even better than her season stats there. I think it's a huge win. 6-foot guard. She can score it on all three levels. Of course, if Vic was on here, he'd talk about her defense first, and I get it. But I think she's a really good offensive basketball player, and she's going to fit really well with Rory Harmon, Madison Booker, Shea Holly, and the rest of the Texas Longhorn team. And they have Jordan Lee coming in, another 6-foot guard wing who's a really good player. Texas basketball, Vic, you keep your fingers crossed they can stay healthy, but Vic's going to have the best team he's had at Texas next year. On the men's side, Jordan Pope scheduled to decide tomorrow, the 6'1.5" point guard out of Oregon State. He's my favorite player in the portal that Texas is recruiting. I think he's tremendous. Averaged 17.5 at Oregon State last year. He'll decide tomorrow. There's some confidence in Austin, but let's see what happens. He visited Texas and Texas A&M, so we'll see what happens there. Then Brandon Garrison, the big, out of Dell City, Oklahoma, there in the Oklahoma City area. Texas finished top 3 out of high school. The Oklahoma State transfer was on campus over the weekend. He was at Oklahoma before. Calipari, Arkansas are trying to make a run. We'll see if he shuts down the visit process or if he goes on one more. Oklahoma State's trying to get him to come back. He's the 6'11", broad-shouldered, wall-up, paint defender that can rebound outside his area, that can protect the rim. Doesn't have a lot of offensive game, but Texas has enough, is put the pieces that they can play with a player like that if they find a little bit more success in the portal here. And then Rytus Petralis out of Arlington Oak Ridge. He's been at Air Force, 6'7" forward. A really good offensive mind, offensive player, good feel offense for offensive backs, basketball. Visited Texas and Cal. We'll see what happens there. I think it's more of a wild card. Will he just stay close to home or will he go out to Cali? So those are the three guys, the top targets left in the portal. The chances of going 3-for-3 aren't high, but if Texas did go 3-for-3, they're done.
Hey, Jerry, you posted an article over on texasfootball.com this morning about some of the fastest kids that Texas is after. And a lot of speed on that list. And obviously, you don't have to go over all of it, but give folks a taste of who might be on that list.
I think I can do this in about a minute and a half, actually. So I listed, I think, nine guys that are, I think, are extremely fast athletic at their position. And this is nationally. I mean, legit speed athleticism guys. And I called it the Texas 2025 fastest class scenario, pretty much. DeCorian Moore ran 10.45, 10.5. He's going to state in multiple relays and the long jump. So, of course, he's on there. Kelshawn Johnson from Hitchcock. He didn't even run the open 100 this year. Basketball went to state title again, so he ran on some relays for Hitchcock. But he was a 10.65 guy on average his sophomore year. He probably would have been in that 10.5 range as a junior. He gets a really late start in track, though, because of basketball. Doesn't train for it. He's an elite speed guy, right? Then you get to Nick Townsend at tight end. He ran 10.92 fully automatic time 100 at the district meet at 226 pounds, the tight end from Decaney, four-star prospect. You're going to have a hard time finding a faster tight end at that size in the country, in the class. Then you go to the defensive back position. Obviously, Dorian Brew ran 10.75 at FAT 100 meters at 200 pounds, 197 pounds. He has to be fast. Those parents were Olympians. I mean, that father was Olympian. Mom was in the track Hall of Fame at Ohio State. He's got to be fast. But as he's gotten bigger, because he's much bigger than his dad. His dad still looks like a sleek wide receiver type of guy that was a 400-meter runner in the Olympics and a 200-meter guy as well. Dorian's a thick kid. I mean, he's carrying about 200 pounds, and he's running 10.75 there. And I think he probably could have got a little lower. I think there's some focus on relays there as well. Aiden Anding, he didn't track time it necessarily, but he's going to end up in the top 10 to 15 percentile of all kids that went to Under Armour camps. And that's a lot of guys. I mean, that's what, about 200 kids a camp, 10 camps, 2000 kids. So however many skill kids that is. A 4.59 laser start, laser finish. Under Armour camps runs laser start, laser finish. Nike was just a laser time and not laser start, laser finish. A 4.59 is going up and getting it early in the morning at Under Armour camps. I'm part of those camps, was for years. 412 shuttle is elite at an Under Armour camp on laser. He is a very fast athlete as well. Then the linebackers really kind of get your attention. Riley Pettijohn, 10.77, personal best, a little downwind, 100 meter at the district track meet at 215 pounds. You're not going to find many guys faster than that in America at that position. Elijah Barnes, 10.96 in his last track meet ever at the district track meet. Which is a freak show of a track meet up in Waxahachie, that district. But 10.96 at 6'2.5", 230 pounds. Guy can really run. That means you're explosive, too. These 100-meter times, I know they don't equate to football, but that's explosiveness. You're not running that fast without explosiveness. And then Lance Jackson. I put him on the list because when I was at Pleasant Grove in Texarkana, you know, you're 6'6", 263. And every coach up there clocks him in the low 4.6s. So he's a 4.7 guy or better without training in to run your fastest 40. Got really good movement skills. Lance Jackson at 6'6", 260, 265. You're not going to find many faster athletes in the country in the 25 class. Texas, and what the reason I wrote that is after a spring game, I just looked around at the continued speed coming into the program and how Sarkisian continues to upgrade the speed in the program as a whole, 1 through 85. So I just looked at this 25 class and said, you know what? This class has a chance. We'll see where it ends up, but they have a chance to add even more serious speed to the program.
I look, just look at the wide receiver room, you know, for a point on speed right now. The running backs. Yeah. I mean, not just with Jaden Blue, but Trey Wisner, you know. They've got tight end with Mari Niblack.
Yeah.
Sark puts a emphasis on it, in my opinion. You know, it comes out that way, and it looks that way. And you want to know why receivers are running around wide open? They're a little bit faster than they were, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And true. So I feel like you're onto something there, Jerry, that the reality of it is the best players in the country – not all of them are the fastest, but more of them are than aren't. And so when we look at the NFL draft on Thursday, I guarantee you all of those receivers, except for maybe one or two, are going to be running sub 4.5s.
Yes.
Bottom line, what is keeping JT Sanders out of the first round or out of the second round? It's probably that he ran a 4.7.
Yeah.
Right? If he's faster, I mean, it changes the trajectory of these guys. And that's not a knock on JT, who's a great Longhorn. It's just a reality of it, right? And so speed matters, and it's something that Sark prioritizes, which is, you know, one of the reasons why Texas is where they are right now from a talent standpoint. I was out there for the spring game, and I'm here to tell you that it's a different-looking Texas team in person than 3 years ago. I mean, it's like night and day. Me and my college buddies, we all went together, and just they look different. I mean, it's a different-looking squad that gets off the bus.
And look, if you want to stress a defense to the max in Steve Sarkisian's system, you have multiple guys out there that scare a defensive coordinator vertically down the field. And that, when I look around at Texas, I see, okay, if I'm a D coordinator, I was thinking about this spring game. Isaiah Bond scares me because what happened with Gavin Holmes, if you press and he beats your press and your safety's not there, he's not catching a football. He's scoring the football. Ryan Wingo scoring the football. DeAndre Moore ran 10-8, and he's not even considered fast on this receiver core. But those guys are going to score the football unless you're playing one or two of the other really, really fast teams in America. But that kid's scoring against Kentucky if he gets over the top like that. They're not catching him. Amari Nyeblack moves like a wide receiver at tight end. That scares a defensive coordinator. Jonte Cook, he didn't run the 100. He was more of a long jump guy. But he's probably in the speed area around DeAndre Moore, right? Silas Bolden's not even here. And he's going to scare people with his quickness before his speed. But he ran, I think, 10.65 in high school, right? So think about all this speed that Sarkisian's putting on the field. And while some people say, well, they got to go make the plays. Yeah, that's the secondary part of it. The first part of it is when that tape, the opponent looks at the tape of Texas, they say, these guys are really fast. How do we defend the field horizontally and vertically? And then there's Jaden Blue out of the backfield who runs 10.6. So deep coordinators are looking at this saying, this is a really fast team. We have to disrupt the timing and get to the quarterback, or else Texas is going to hit you.
One thing that happens with Jaden Blue, right, just to give you an example, if the safeties have to stay back because you can press them vertically, it gives a guy like Jaden Blue, if he can get past the first guy, so much more room to make a big play, essentially, just on a check down. Jerry, something as simple as a check down.
Yeah.
All of a sudden becomes a 30-yard play potentially because the safety has to sit back and can't move forward.
Chunk plays.
Yep.
Hey, guys, we got lots of questions to get to. Real quick, this comment from Mike G. Our women's sports teams are as good as there is anywhere when you consider them collectively. The new softball poll was just released while y'all were talking, and Texas still number one in that. So congrats, Texas softball. And then Tom Doyle here says, do y'all think Sark will use players like JT Sanders and Jonathan Brooks as examples to younger players that if you wait your time and not enter the portal, good things can happen?
I don't know about JT Sanders because he kind of was the guy right after his freshman year. But Jonathan Brooks is a poster child of that without question, because you look at him having to wait behind not only Bijan but also Roschon Johnson. He is the poster child of that. I'm not so sure that maybe Christian Jones isn't that guy too, but with Christian, it wasn't so much about transferring as it was just continuing to develop and trust the process over a longer period of time. You know, there's a difference there, Blake. And so I'm excited about that kind of, I don't want to say pull, but that kind of recruiting where you're actually using yourself as the example of what needs to be done and how you can accomplish your goals through the University of Texas. That wasn't always the case. When Sark first got here, he did a lot of having to tell, well, we're going to do this. Now he's proving that this is the way it's done here at the University of Texas. And it's just it's a quantum change, a quantum leap of sorts, where it's no longer we're going to tell you about what we're going to do. We're going to say this is what we've done, and we're going to keep doing it and improving upon it. It's just a totally different sell to someone, you know.
And somebody asked real quick, is Texas going to after any war daddies at D line or just fillers? Now, I think Dominic Williams is a big time football player. Reality is Texas needs to win that recruitment. He'll be on campus this evening through Wednesday. We'll see what happens. I think he's the best in the portal on the defensive line for Texas. But I also want to bring this up. I mean, the two guys from Michigan that have been talked about a long time, if people that don't follow recruiting closely may not know that Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, who are, you know, guys that are projected to be his first potential first rounders in the 25 draft. I think probably people may look at Michigan and just think, oh, they were two of the best in the country. They're ranked low four star and 220 in the country. So you don't have everybody wants the five star guys, and everybody got on Bo about this, but dude, there are very few of those, and only a few of those hit.
There you go. All right, Rudy O says, other than Arch, who do you think improved their stock the most at the spring game on Saturday?
Improved their stock the most. I think people were surprised by Jordan Washington and Colton Vossen.
And Savea.
And Tia Savea, maybe. Yep. I would say that of that group, probably, Vossick is probably the one. And the reason why, Jerry, is a lot of people had discounted him because of his injury history. I mean, Washington, it was his first go. Vossick's been on the team a year. Yet this was the first time where he's kind of announced his presence, right? And he did it in a big way with some tackles.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about recruiting, too, with these guys. If you're injured or you redshirt, sometimes you're forgotten about, especially when you're injured, right? So, one, it was great to see him look healthy on the football field because, Bobby, that kind of confirmed what people were hearing about him before the injury bug kind of set in that first year, is he will look like a rotational player early on in spring of last year. He was really making his mark. Then the injury set in. So it's tough for Vossick sitting out for a year. And then it's easy for a fan base to say, well, he ever play, right? Those guys sometimes get forgotten about during that off year, whether you're redshirting or injured. But for Vossick, I mean, it was kind of a confirmation for what we had heard early on, that this guy could push his way into the rotation. Because the one thing Vossick has for me, well, there's two things. But one is he's got the motor. A motor and physicality combination. But two, you know he's coached up because his dad is the D-line coach at Westlake, played D-line at Texas. But when the guy gets in a stance, you know he's going to get off the ball well. There are some guys you look at and you wonder if they're going to get off the ball well in a stance. You know Colton Vossick's going to have a little BGO getting off the ball. You can just tell in his stance, the way he's loading up, the way he understands that butt above the shoulders, he is in a position to get off the football. It was great to see him healthy Saturday. Hope he stays healthy.
I would add one other guy is Andrew Makuba for me. I've watched the spring game now three times. Yes, I do that kind of stuff. I thought he was the best safety on the field. Yep. Better than Derek Williams and better than Michael Taft upon a rewatch. So very, very steady in coverage. Does not let his eyes get too tricked with some of the eye candy that Steve Sarkisian will throw at teams that, frankly, maybe some of the young safeties had real issues with. I felt like he was like I went into it thinking he was definitely a starter quality. He's been 3-year starter at Clemson, but he did some things intelligently that, you know, along with his athleticism. He's a little bit better than your average starter, in my opinion. So I'll just put it out there that way. I think he's going to grade out really, really well by the coaches.
Well, speaking of grading out, I'm glad you said that, because Derek wants to know, how would y'all grade out the linebackers as a whole on Saturday?
You know, they didn't – I'll tell you this much. I didn't feel like you heard their names much. No. In either tackling the run or in pass coverage. I mean, I heard Ty Anthony Smith's name more than anybody's. And so that's not all that surprising, given that Texas didn't run the ball that much. But Anthony Hill, David Benda were the first group, followed by Mo Blackwell. Mo Blackwell's the one that got beat on the touchdown catch by Jaden Blue. But, you know, what are you going to do? You're trailing Jaden Blue across the entire formation. You know, good luck with that for any linebacker in the country, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. Outside of that, I felt like Leon Galafau, had his name called a couple times. But it wasn't a showcase for the linebackers on Saturday. That's for sure. I think Anthony Hill is a stalwart and going to be a long-term stalwart for the Longhorns in the middle of the field. And he'll find his time. I think no recruit is more important right now than Dominic Williams for making Anthony Hill a better player and more effective and impactful next year. Because I do think that big guy up front that can tie up the center and let Anthony Hill roam a little bit and have some freedom will be huge.
By the way, I think Leon Galafau, he continues to impress me. That guy, he just has a way of flowing to the football that I really like at the linebacker position. And I think he has the range. I think he's going to be a very good player. Just got to continue building out that frame. And we were just talking about sometimes these guys get forgotten about for a year when they redshirt or they're injured. Ty Anthony Smith needs time to build out his frame. But once he does, he will be heard from. Too long arms, too instinctive as a linebacker, too smart of an intelligent of a football player. Ty Anthony Smith's going to be a dude when he gets big enough. It might take him a little time, but Texas got a player there. He's just got to build out his frame.
All right, Bobby, will you tell folks out there about Texas electricity ratings?
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, for anyone shopping for electricity in the deregulated areas of Texas, TexasElectricityRatings.com is the best place to find a great electricity plan for your household. For starters, it filters out the dangerous and gimmicky plans from providers that are all hat and no cattle when it comes to your monthly bill. You can shop by rate, but also by an average bill feature that actually takes into account seasonal usage to give you a real number and not some placeholder. With summer on the horizon, you know how important that can be. So if you're looking for a new electricity plan, check out TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for the best options available. Texas Electricity Ratings says hook them to all the Longhorns out there.
And we want to thank them for sponsoring each and every Tuesday right here on Coffee and Football. And our next question here comes from Brendan. He says, what should we expect the defensive line rotation to be as of now with the addition of Bill Norton from Arizona?
Well, in not including Dominic Williams, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, I think that Vernon Broughton and Alfred Collins remain your starters. I think Norton and or Aaron Bryant are your second team guys over the ball and or third team guys. With Sadir Mitchell, a guy that needs to be looked at, as well as Alex January. Hey, if they get Dominic Williams, I think they could move Alex January out to the three and actually provide depth there too. Because I want to mention this about Alex January. He doesn't have to play over the ball. I thought coming into college, and Jerry, I want to get your thought on this. I thought coming into college, Alex would be almost exclusively an over the ball guy. After having watched him on Saturday, I now think he could play nose or three for Texas. So I want you to comment on that after I get finished. But Dre Bledsoe's in that category as well as a three right now. And then, you know, I think that's about doing it. And the reason that is a problem, Zach Swanson in the portal, by the way, some people asked about him. He's in the portal. My point being, that's how thin the defensive line is when I can sit there and name five or six guys. And last year they rotated six. They didn't just have six. They rotated six.
Yeah, no, I think Alex January can play either spot as well, especially as he continues to mature as a player in the program. I don't think there's any doubt that he's got versatility. He's not just over the ball player. I think that's one of his strengths is that versatility. But yeah, I mean, look, I think what the rotation looks like right now, I can't even get into that. I want to see what the finished product's going to be here. See if, you know, what happens with Dominic Williams. And even if Texas were to win out for Dominic Williams, they may go after somebody else, guys. I'm just telling you, it's not out of the question here. So I want to see how everything kind of works out, make sure nobody else goes in the portal. It on the interior to D line, we'll see. They got 7 days left of the portal. But I do think I will say this. I think Saveya and Norton really do help shore up some depth issues as far as taking up snaps. Texas rotated six last year. They're going to want to rotate six again. I don't think they're quite there yet, but I do think they'll get there.
Let's do a couple of recruiting questions here. Some quick hitters. Antoine says, Jerry, you got any intel on 26 cornerback Jason Bradford?
Not really, other than you know, he's been on campus a couple times. Texas really likes Jason Bradford. Somebody early in the chat asked if I'd go out and see him. That'll probably be CJ living in Austin that hits those, that Central Texas area. I'm going out of state. I'll be out of state for a few days, obviously going to look at some kids that are targets for Texas. So I think CJ is going to plan to go up to Temple, watch those guys, take a look at Jason Bradford. But a very good football player. Will be one of the top safety DBs in the state in 26.
And then E. Kim, good morning from Rockford, Illinois. Jerry, those other three top linemen at North Crowley, will Texas evaluate them for potential offers?
Evaluate, yes. I'd be surprised right now if any of those guys were offers, but I can't rule it out. There's a young kid that we'll see what happens. They've had a couple of guys move in that are pretty talented as well, younger players on that offensive line to watch. But I'd be surprised right now.
And then King Ming wants to know if you're stopping by Temple to see any 2026.
Yeah, that's what he asked. I think CJ will. CJ's already said he's gonna make that trip to Temple to see Jason Bradford in May.
Yeah, all
that's right. That's the corner, right?
Yeah, corner DB.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a big kid. We'll see where he ends up.
And one other recruiting question here, if I don't lose it. There we go. From David Williams. I knew it was in here somewhere. Do you think position similarity of Fasusi and Lamont Rogers will affect Texas getting them both? He personally thinks they're both left tackles, even though Rogers seems a lot taller and heavier.
That'll be interesting to see. I think, look, I with Jonte Newman committing to A&M, I see this board kind of really taking shape. I think, obviously, Fasusi's a top tackle for us, but he's a take whenever. I think you have Jordan Coleman, who's kind of that swing guy. You have Devin Coleman. John Mills is an interior prospect. Jackson Christian, swing guy. He's probably going to play guard, though. And then I think Texas will take five. I think Lamont Rogers is high on that board. I think Nick Brooks is high on that board, especially after the visit last week. We'll see if Georgia can close that out in early June before the Texas official visit, June 14th through 16th. But I think the board's kind of taking shape as far as would Lamont Rogers come to Texas if Fasusi committed to Texas? I don't have any information right now that says absolutely not. That's a deal breaker for him. I'd be surprised if somebody was locked into just saying they want to play left tackle at that point if you have an opportunity to play with Kyle Flood. I mean, look, Brandon Baker played right tackle. Could he play left tackle? Sure he could. If he would have just locked it, I'm just locked in the play. I just want to move the left tackle. May have changed his recruitment a little bit. I mean, he's at right tackle at Texas. He's going to be a really good player. So we'll see. I'm not sure I have that 100% answer right now. But I will say Texas is going to take five guys on the offensive line in this class.
All right, guys, we'll do one or two more questions, and then we got to get out of here. Naaman Roberts says, hey, Bobby, I have a burning question. You've said how great McDonald looked on the field and that reports were that his play was up to par. But when I saw his size, I think he needs to play star. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, Texas doesn't mind playing undersized star. Neither Jahdae Barron or Jalen Bilbo are that bonus size guy. So I think that he would be that guy if they like to play a true safety at star that was a walk-up guy. But with all the speed on the field nowadays from people, I don't think you can really play him at star. I agree with you. Like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, automatic move there. Right, Jerry? I mean, but the game has changed slightly enough to where other teams are countering all of that with more speed on the field. And I'm not saying that Jelani's not fast, because he is, but it just, the change of direction, et cetera, is a little bit different at that position right now. And so they're playing, a lot of teams are playing, and Texas included, with undersized guys in that position. I do think that he's still learning to play safety, but I do think he's going to be fine in coverage. He made one bad play, I thought, on Saturday, and that was against a run support situation where he came up a little late and got juked by Kai Woods. But other than that, I mean, he's learning the position, and everything I'm told from behind the scenes, not necessarily in front, which y'all saw on Saturday, is that he's learning and they like the trajectory. And I'm here to tell you, when I hear that kind of stuff, that's a check mark of sorts for a guy like Jelani McDonald.
Last question for today, fellas. This one from Daryl Klein. He says, Bobby or Jerry, what's the updated 85 roster numbers as of today? Thanks and hook them.
I believe it's 84. Yeah, it's back to 84 if you include Bill Norton. So it was six. It's six off from 89. Six scholarship guys have left to go in the portal for the Longhorns. That takes it to 83. They've added one in Bill Norton. So it goes to 84.
There you go. Okay, guys. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by Texas Electricity Ratings. We want to thank them along with Gooder and Manscaped for sponsoring today's show. Don't forget, head on over to ontexasfootball.com. Become an OTF OG if you haven't already. All you have to do is use that coupon code OTF OG. Simple enough to remember. You can get a whole year for just $39.95 if you use that promo code. That way you're not missing out on around-the-clock news. And also, if you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. We would definitely appreciate that. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime we go live or post a video. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Dominic Williams today, guys.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.